Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon this morning is based on the gospel lesson for this Sunday, continuing our lessons from St. Matthew. We read in chapter 10, beginning at verse 34, these words of Jesus. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. The angel's message to the lost world on Christmas night was a message of peace. And indeed, the birth of Christ brought peace into the world, as God's favor now rested upon all mankind in his Son, Jesus. The words that I just read to you, our gospel lesson, are part of the instructions that Jesus gave to the 12 apostles before he sent them out like sheep among wolves to the lost tribe of Israel. When we read these words and you heard these words, it may first appear that they might contradict the angel's message about peace. I assure you, they do not. The point that Jesus is making to his disciples before he sent them out on their work of sharing the news, the good news about him, is that some people would welcome them and some people would not. Some people would offer them a cup of water in appreciation for their visit. Other people would not, but rather would persecute them and reject them. We had a little bit of a preview of all of this last Sunday as we looked at the account of the prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Disciples, followers of Jesus, because he has called you out of the world by the Holy Spirit to follow him, expect rejection. Expect not everyone to welcome you in the name of Christ, as a prophet, as a righteous person who clings only to the holiness of Christ under the law for salvation. The Lord does not candy coat it when he tells us what is going to happen to us when we, like the 12, go out like sheep among wolves to the lost world. Jesus presents a realistic view of what it means to follow him? Well, see, first of all, that we can expect rejection following him. And secondly, we can expect God to accept you through Christ's merits. People long for peace, and they work hard to attain peace. Peace is a word that comes up very often, doesn't it, in our worship, in our devotions, in our personal hopes in Christ. Yet there is no peace apart from Christ. Isaiah says in chapter 42, verse 22, "There is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked." Peace must come through faith in Christ. Peace must come by trusting that one who is the Prince of Peace, who is the favor of God resting on lost souls. People seek peace in a lot of different ways, and include in those people our own sinful natures. The wicked seek to find peace by soft-pedaling sin. People seek to find peace by, even when admitting sin, would rather not admit that the consequences for sin are quite as severe and eternal as God says. People look for peace by denying that our sins separate us from God forever and ever. None of those things that I mentioned bring peace. They are a delusion. They are not a reality whatsoever. Jesus came to be the only one who brings peace to a guilty conscience. He did not come to give us some great teachings, some great laws, some good guidance in order for us to find peace in some way apart from the work that he did on the cross of bearing our sins in his body and taking them to the cross and then burying our sins and guilt and punishment in his tomb to leave it there when he rose from the dead. Blessings that you and I receive when we are baptized as we become connected to Christ and to his death and to his resurrection, and to his eternal life with the Father. Jesus didn't come either to establish some kind of earthly peace before men. That was true then. It's true now. The teachings of Jesus are not meant to establish political and social peace in this world today. And Jesus is not coming again for the purpose of establishing peace on this earth or in this world. A peace that the Jews were already looking for and didn't find in him, so they rejected him, hoping that he would be the revealed Messiah who would throw off the shackles of Roman oppression and they would once again be restored to the glory and greatness of the Davidic kingdom. Jesus didn't come to bring peace through social justice, but he came to bring peace for our souls through the forgiveness of our sins. And so Jesus reminded his disciples, the 12, when he sent them out, don't get caught up in all of that misbelief. Don't let people get you off the subject. Stay on the subject of peace through me. And so he says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword, Jesus told the 12. What is that sword that Jesus wields? Well, we think, first of all, don't we, of the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God. That Word of God separates even members of families. It tears families apart. As some believe in Jesus as their Savior and strive to live godly lives, from those who reject Christ and those who continue to want to choose to live life as they want. When Jesus said, "I have come to bring the sword," he said, "I've come to bring the Word of God that will divide people." Nobody is neutral about Christ. Nobody is neutral about God's Word. You either love Christ and believe His Word, or you hate Christ and you reject His Word. That is the division that the sword brings. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor, the Nazis hanged in Flossenbürg concentration camp in 1945, wrote this about these words. Quote, he wrote this in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. Quote, "But the cross is the sword God wields on earth. It creates division. The son against the father, the daughter against her mother, the member of the family against the head. All this will happen in the name of God's kingdom and His peace." Unquote. Followers of Christ, disciples of our Lord Jesus, boldly preach your Master's message. But when you do that, expect rejection. Expect there to be no peace, but expect there to be that division among people. The sword of the Spirit, the cross, Christ will continue to divide believers and unbelievers until the end. Enmity against God and His peace will continue. And that enmity will come and even be found in those we love the most. Notice that Jesus says, or rather, notice Jesus does not say, "Do not love your father. Do not love your mother." He doesn't say, "Do not love your son or your daughter." In fact, obey the fourth commandment. But he said, "Don't love them more than you love me." Don't put even the members of your family before your love for me, based on my love for you. God will not share love with any idol, no matter what that idol may be, even if it's a member of our family. This mirror before our eyes shows us, doesn't it, that we are all guilty of this sin. We are guilty of loving ourselves, loving our family members, loving our jobs and success, loving the things of this present world at times more than we love God. We put them first rather than putting God first. And Jesus warns us here that that leads to losing eternity, to loving this present and temporary life more than Christ leads to losing your eternal life in hell. But if you lose the things of this life, if you don't love any of them more than Christ, but love Christ more than anything else, then you will, even if you lose your life here, then you will gain your life, you will hold your life for eternity. Discipleship is the emptying of your heart of love more than you love God, of the present and temporary things in this world, even the members of our families. Discipleship is obedience to Christ, who in the gospel says, "Follow me. Leave everything in this life behind and come and sit at my feet and hear my word and learn my word and then have that righteousness that I give you through the gospel." In the second part here, our Savior does just exactly that. So as we expect rejection by men through the preaching of God's word, as we do so, we are assured that through that word, God accepts us in the merits of Christ. Notice the way Jesus ties all these things together. Whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. So if you believe and accept Jesus, then you worship and know the true God. And then he said, whoever accepts you accepts me. You prophets, and prophets like Jeremiah. If people welcome you and people believe your word and they accept you as coming to them with something beneficial for them, then they are accepting me through you. And if they accept a righteous man, that is a believer, righteous through Christ, as a righteous man, in other words, as they look on us as people who believe that we're saved not by our own righteousness, but by Christ, and they look to Christ also in faith, then they too will gain the reward of a righteous man, because they will be righteous. So if they accept Christ, if they accept you, if they believe in Jesus and have that righteousness, then they, like you, will not lose those rewards of grace that God has promised you. When we go out and people listen to us and learn from us, we rejoice because they are welcoming Christ. When they reject us, when they don't listen to us, certainly we're sad about that. But remember that it is not you that they're rejecting, or me, unless we're sharing with them our own views and opinions. And that's why Jesus said, when they accept you as a prophet, they won't miss out on a prophet's reward. So when we stick to God's word and speak God's word, and they reject that, then they are not rejecting us, but rejecting Christ. Just like when they believe it, they're not believing us, but they're believing the Holy Spirit as he speaks to them in the word. And when they believe in Christ, then God, like us, God accepts them in the merits of Jesus. Through baptism, through believing the word by the Spirit, we make the merits of Christ our own to present to the Father in heaven. There are certain realities when it comes to following Jesus, to being his disciples. People will reject us, and people will welcome us. People will listen to us, and people will not listen to us. But what we can expect for them and for us now and for eternity is to have that righteousness of Christ, that God accepts us through the merits of Jesus. And so, disciples, followers of Christ, whom the Lord calls to leave behind everything in this world to follow him, obey his command. Follow him. Sit at his feet. Learn. And know then that you have that real peace. That real peace with God that the angels announced and that we hear and receive regularly in the gospel. Amen.